From the short tracks to the super speedways, from two wheels to four wheels, it's Revved Up ATX on the Horn with Bobby Chaffee and Rodney Rodriguez. Presented by AMM Collision. This is where Austin talks racing.
Live, local, digital, streaming on the Horn app and at hornfm.com. It is Revved Up ATX, Saturday mornings on the Horn. Bobby Chaffee, Rodney Rodriguez getting you set for your weekend, NFL playoff weekend. But before that, we got an hour to talk about motorsports, and you only hear it right here. You only hear it on Revved Up ATX. Give us a follow on Twitter, at Revved Up ATX, as well as on Instagram. Lots to break down today. Have to talk about the NASCAR Hall of Fame. You induct three brand new members to that shrine last night. We'll talk about that. Supercross in Oakland last week as that season continues to roll on. Pit Stop News and Notes are stuff to talk about with IndyCar as we get closer to the IndyCar season, Formula One. And, of course, in the first segment, want to talk about everything going on out at COTA. Bobby, how we doing, my brother? You warm? Are you bundled up, my friend, for the Arctic blast that we've been seeing the last few days?
You know, I'm not doing all that bad today. Had the heater turned up a little hot in the truck, so I'm a little warm now. I don't have my jacket on in the studio. The studio actually feels pretty normal. Just
feels a little warm.
Yeah.
Could be. The studio's probably warm. I mean, obviously, you know, two hot dudes like you and I, but the crew chief today, my friends, we've got Harry Hyde in the place. I mean, it's that important. Harry Hyde in the place, the crew chief today is the man. You damn right. It's Chad Hastings. How we doing, brother?
I'm good. How you guys doing?
Man, we're great. We're great. Thank you for getting up here. I know it's going to be a busy day coming up at 12:30 right here on the Horn. You've got Texas, Oklahoma State. Bounce back. Let's see if it happens. You hear it right here on 104.9 at 12:30, pregame at 12. And then the ladies, the UT women, they will be taking on TCU. That's over at 105.3, the Bat, coming up at 1 o'clock as well. Bobby. I was very impressed. It gave me a lot of hope to see this week that there are things happening at Circuit of the Americas. And I don't mean races because this is the downtime, but it really looks like there's some dollars going into that place.
I think it's a good sign too, right? For the longest time, it was always like, what's going to happen to COTA? Is it going to shut down? Is it in the financial ruin? All of that stuff we kept hearing all these years. And now it's like, okay, look, they're putting in infrastructure. They're redoing turns 2, turns 4, turn 10, a couple of the turns. I didn't think the track needed it as much as they have repaved the place. But the spots that they're putting it, there couldn't be a better spot to put it because you put fresh pavement down in the messes out of turn 2. Oh, man, that's just going to make that section of corners even better.
That's the thing. And concrete pads right there reinforce the turn 2 and 10 like you talked about. But I love the way they worded it, the official stuff there from COTA. They were reviewing asphalt designs, diagnosing what needs resurfacing, ground penetration radar, and laser mapping equipment. Boy, that sounds kind of kinky.
Sounds like somebody had too much time on their hands is what it sounds like. Let's put in some radar.
It's like, we got to make this legit. We have got to make this sound like we're really doing it. They really are. I mean, we kid around, we joke about it. But it's been, you've had the MotoGP guys, and actually Chad was just telling me a story before this about a ride-along out there with that. But the MotoGP guys have talked about bumps and rough areas out there. Formula One echoed that as well. But like we've talked about, between obviously with the snowvid that we had last year, but between the summers that you have here, and depending if the folks that built the tollway built COTA, I can see why it's falling apart.
Yeah, absolutely. Did they use that ground penetrating radar? Did they use that at Atlanta? I don't recall SMI making a post about that when they completely redid Atlanta Motor Speedway.
They just use eyes, man. They just use eyes. Boots on the ground is what they did in Atlanta. You know how NASCAR rolls. I mean, they don't need to word this. That's Atlanta GA, man. You don't have to get all crazy with all these terms like we're doing over here.
Well, they do have to. A more intense clientele over there with Circuit of the Americas, with the Formula One fans and the Formula One, you know, teams and stuff. They have a certain critique of racetracks. Obviously, on the bikes with MotoGP, you want to make sure that track is smooth as ice when you're buzzing through there, especially through the S's right there in turns 2, the complex over there. So I can see why they did it. You know, NASCAR didn't really notice it, I don't think, a whole lot. Now, they definitely noticed the new curbing, the concrete curbs over there.
Sure, absolutely. And that's and a lot of, like we've talked about it in the past. Again, all these Saturday archives, oh my goodness, I just saw a gorgeous picture on Twitter of Charlotte Motor Speedway covered in snow.
Is it still snowing over there?
Absolutely covered in snow. This was apparently this morning, and it is a thing of beauty. It is a thing of beauty. And hats off to all of our friends there in Charlotte. I mean, you know, a lot of our NASCAR friends, I keep seeing their posts. I've talked to a couple of different people where they're like, man, now we know how you guys felt in February, because they are just covered up, and they are not used to that there.
I guess I need to call my grandmother. She lives outside of Rockingham, so maybe I need to call her and make sure she's doing okay at like 86 years old. Makes me a bad grandson not calling her all this time, not knowing there's snow and ice in the ground.
Ah, you thought it was 80 degrees, you know, you thought it was beautiful. No, it's pretty rough. Hey, your thoughts, friends, Specs Text Line 337-3776. Feel free to check in on that CODA stuff. But I would think that things did change out there, because we talked about when NASCAR rolled through, and again, NASCAR will be here March the 20th, I believe, is that weekend when they come out, when you've got the three big national series that'll make their way back out a little earlier this year. But you have to think that the track probably did take a little bit of a pounding out there. Hadn't seen anything quite like that. I mean, they've seen some of the supercars and the different versions of sports cars out there, but nothing like a NASCAR truck had been on that surface.
No, not at all. I mean, we have a 3,400-pound stock car. Bless the 3,400-pound stock car soul, since those are no longer going to be there, right?
Yeah, what's that?
Since now we went to this next-gen sports car we got. But, yeah, definitely the NASCAR team that with the Xfinity cars, and especially the trucks, bringing a whole dynamic. I was really impressed by that truck race. We've talked about it before. The fact that, you know, there's only so many ways you can design a rectangle square box.
Mm-hmm.
And they did, and those trucks looked really good at COTA. They were fast.
And I think that's one of the things that that folks were extremely surprised about with the NASCAR experience, was it was the trucks. But, you know, it led in nicely, because a lot of people were fascinated by the trucks, because you did. You had Austin Self, and you had all of the guys, Curry, you had all of the guys that have roots here that were a part of that maybe they would draw some of those folks in. But folks were extremely surprised how fast those are. And I'm like, you know, this isn't what you see driving down 360 or I-35. I mean, this is not your standard truck. Yes, it has that appearance of a truck. It's, like you said, it's molded as a truck. But, friends, that is all race car underneath that beautiful body.
Yeah, it really is. I mean, the high-tech chassis in the truck, it's not what it used to be when the truck series first started, when they, you know, you're able to build one in your garage. You know, now it takes you an actual shop, a pretty good-sized building, to build one. We've talked to Corey Roper, driver of the 04 Carcast truck before, and he's ended up having, you know, they have a really nice shop they built outside of Houston. And it's, you know, I don't know how many square foot it is, but they have to have a surface plate. They got to have all kind of shakedown rigs and all that kind of stuff just to run top 20 in a truck series race.
Right. Every ounce of technology that is used with the Cup teams, well, maybe not every, but I would say 90% of that technology that you see in the Xfinity series and in the Cup series, it trickles down into the truck series. I mean, that is a huge undertaking right there to have one of those. Of course, Al Neese, a friend of the show that we've had on this program before, he has succeeded in doing really well, to where it's very humble beginnings that Al Neese has come from, and he's taken his company and built this truck operation that has had some of the best wheel people behind it, and he is a formidable contender in that division, in that series, each and every season now.
That's right. Four trucks confirmed for 2022, kind of a gauntlet of different racers coming in, kind of a different version of the GMS stuff. I think you'll see GMS, their dominance in the truck series, where they're still going to build trucks and stuff like that for part of their developmental deal. But you got to realize GMS has now put their focus on that Cup car and that Cup team with Petty.
Yeah. Yeah, and Pit Stop Needs a Notes coming up at the end of the program. We've got more information about guys that are going to be jumping in to run Daytona. Colleg Racing makes another move right there, and they'll put a familiar name in one of their cars here for Daytona coming up. And, I mean, the Busch Light Clash, man, it's coming up February the 6th. We are that close, and this is going to be a made-for-TV event, obviously. I mean, there's not another way to put it, but I think this is going to be the eyes and ears. The week before the Super Bowl, as long as everything stays on track, is going to be on NASCAR. It's going to be on Fox Television, and this is going to be a massive time for new eyeballs and our first peek at the kit car.
I think it's just going to be crazy. Now that the track is remotely finished and you got a chance to see it, very Bowman Gray-esque.
Absolutely.
I mean, there's only so many ways you can pave a racetrack inside a football stadium, even as iconic as the LA Coliseum. it's going to be crazy to see the beating, the banging, the crashing, the fire-breathing machines down there. Oh, yeah, and they're next-gen cars, and there's a parts shortage for most of them. Teams are supposed to have seven. Now they've got roughly five.
Right, and that's going to be, I mean, do you go out there and you tear your stuff up? I mean, it's going to hurt you going into Daytona. You're going to need all of that. And when you get to the West Coast Swing, you talked about it last week on the show, is where when you go to the West Coast Swing, that's a long way from North Carolina. And the logistics there, getting parts, getting cars, getting whatever's going to happen there, you have to err on the side of caution. But if you're going to err on the side of caution, at a quarter-mile bullring flat racetrack that is temporary, it's going to be really, really hard to save your stuff.
And I don't know if they're are they doing provisionals in that race?
I don't know.
I don't remember.
I think everybody, because there's 36 entries, and then it's going to go very much the dirt track, what we just saw with the Chili Bowl. Congratulations, Tanner Thorson, by the way, on winning that big show this past weekend on Saturday. But it'll be qualifying races, and there'll be B-mains, and they're going to do all of that. It's going to be a very weekly racing format, and I think that'll be refreshing, maybe to where some of the fans that have been soured by NASCAR, maybe they see that, and they think, okay, well, that feels a little normal, but that car, though, it sucks. You know that's what's going to happen.
That's all they're going to talk about, especially with the number. You know, it's funny, though, and you've seen it, too, when they've debuted some of these new paint schemes. The reason they moved the number up was so that the sponsors would have more room on the doors.
Not a lot of quarter panels
instead of
anymore.
The quarter panels. But a lot of these sponsors, they still got logos going all the way to that quarter panel. I noticed that yesterday, especially with the Dex imaging for the Wood Brothers and Harrison Burton that they just released yesterday.
Yeah.
It sure has that imaging for Dex imaging. Sure does fit real nice on top of that quarter panel above
Absolutely.
That rear tire.
And that's what this sport is all about. I mean, the changes, everything that happens right there, what you just said right there, these are multi-million dollar rolling billboards is what these things are. And the more that you can get on there, the more people that want to be on there, that's going to make you run better. Or, I mean, it's not supposed to with the new car. But I think we know how this is going to shake out.
Money by speed, how fast do you want to go, even with a kit car they've got going on? It depends. Hendrick Motorsports is going to find a way to put those parts and pieces on better than other teams. Penske's going to do the same way. The teams that are on top right now will eventually be back to the top of the podium.
Absolutely.
Just like they are now. The cream always rises to the top. It's the same thing. Speaking of Penske, Penske's the one organization that's getting this number placement stuff right.
Yeah.
Those new cars
Well, their
look
number
great.
Fonts are good. I like their number fonts. Mm-hmm. They've got really good number fonts, and I know Chad, because Chad's a uniform guy. So this is, I think, something that Chad could really get into when the placement of the number, but the font, because mm-hmm. you do, like with the Wood Brothers number, it looks a little odd because it's just straight block sitting straight up. But Chad, like you with football uniforms and so forth, how you place a number and how you lean it and outline it, man, that makes a huge difference.
Well, and you guys are talking about a world where we could maybe even argue the number is, it's more important.
The star.
Right? I don't know if it's even more of a... But yeah, I'm with you. The little details of back in the day, it wasn't just a 24.
That's right.
It was the 2 and the 4. And you're right, the lean, the angle. And yeah, because as a football fan, oh, I'll get mad at you if you give me dumb numbers.
Yeah.
You give me some dumb numbers, I'm upset.
The Pittsburgh Steeler bumblebee, man.
Terrible.
Terrible.
Awful.
Your thoughts on the Bengals jersey? My wife, every time she sees the Bengals, she's like, I hate it. It's horrible.
See, I'm a pro Bengals guy.
I like them. I like them.
I love the stripes. Mm-hmm. Love that change when I was a kid and just said Bengals. Thought it was boring. In general, I like their look. Yeah, I like it. I think they look sharp.
I think so, too. The days of Kenny Anderson, Bengals.
Oh, heck yeah.
Yeah, that's it right there.
Chris Collinsworth, baby.
Oh, there he is, the man right there.
Two-bar face mask. Come on.
Joe Theismann, the one bar.
That's right.
Crazy stuff. Supercross, Bobby, you and I texted you Sunday because I fell asleep. Man, we look like geniuses because we said, Aaron Plessinger, El Hombre, these guys are going to rise to the top. And they did.
They really did. That was an impressive run by Jason Anderson. It really was. The poise was there. You got to see, they all have confidence, right? It takes a lot of confidence and testicular fortitude to jump over a triple over there on a motorcycle, on a dirt bike. But he had just that confidence, had that little air, just something a little extra that you saw it all day. But definitely during that main event, he was able to come through and put on a really good performance.
Yeah, he did. And so it's Anderson, Plessinger, Bam Bam, Justin Barcia again. It's been hot or cold. I mean, it's been all or nothing with him, which actually turned out to be Ken Roczen so far because he was 13th after winning at Anaheim 1. But now Barcia's sitting there. Barcia gets that consistency in there, and he's formidable opponent there himself.
He really has been. It's been impressive to watch him go from where he had the factory ride with Yamaha.
Mm-hmm.
Now he's got the factory ride with GasGas. And his consistency really, that's the one thing he's been missing. Like you said, hot or cold, off and on.
Or hurt.
Well, that's pretty much for anybody that you've seen. But his ability to rebound and get in decent starts and able to keep the pace, I think, is what we've seen out of him so far. Granted, he had the little issue with El Hombre there in Anaheim 1. They worked that out amongst themselves over through the course of the week. But being third, having that great consistency, that's how Ryan Dungey killed him, was with podiums
those
Supercross titles that he won.
And I did see with Eli Tomac winning a heat race, I saw some dominance out of that Yamaha in that race. And he comes home fourth, just misses the podium in the main event there. In that event in Oakland, but I think I'm going to go out on a limb right here. I think we're about to see Eli Tomac get on a run, because what I saw him do in that heat race, he waxed him. He was gone. He just took off. That looked like Eli Tomac on Team Green on the Kawasaki. But I think that it's about time that those Yamaha, now they've got a couple of races under their belt. I got a feeling it's about to be Eli Tomac time, and it could happen tonight at San Diego.
It really will be interesting to see how well his progression on the Yamaha continues, especially when he's got when you start to see Dylan Ferrandis challenge him and come through. When your teammate challenges you, it's so different with a racing motorsports. You get challenged as a team sport when you play football, baseball, and stuff like that. But in racing, when you know that you have the same equipment as the guy next to you in that shop and they're outperforming you, that there's no better competition than watching two guys with the same equipment try to beat each other week in and week out.
Yeah, and what happens with that with racing, what you do see, I mean, because we can talk about it with NASCAR teams, IndyCar teams, whatever the case is, when that starts to happen, when you're getting outperformed by your teammate, that's when people start to talk. And that's what really makes these battles really, really good. And it does seem that it's just a matter of time. There's a lot of consensus. There's a lot of pressure now on Yamaha that they've gone out and made the acquisition. I mean, they've got the blue chipper. You got the blue chipper. You got arguably the best in the business right now. You've got him in your fold. He needs to get out there and win, because people are going to start talking if he doesn't.
Well, it's one of those things to where as they shocked the world, I think. I think that was a shocking thing when they hired Eli Tomac.
I was blown away by that.
Pull him away from the factory Kawasaki team. And so now they've got one of the biggest bullets in the gun. Now they need to fire out of there like a cannon, because Ferrandis has done really good on the outdoor scene, winning the championships over there and the motocross stuff in the summertime. But their consistency there in Supercross inside the arenas, not so much.
That's right. That's right. 250s. SOS once again, Christian Craig. Dude's unbelievable. He is just setting himself up for a really nice 450 career coming up here pretty, pretty quick. What do you think of Vince Freese going to the 250s? That's odd. That doesn't happen very often.
It doesn't happen very often. Kind of reminds me of an Elliott Sadler type of move, moving from the Cup Series down to the Xfinity Series. And when we say down, it's more like in air quotes, right?
Sure.
Because it's still great competition. And it's designed as a developmental series, just like the 250s are designed as a developmental series to the 450s. But it's one of those things, hey, if he's got a better shot at winning, go for it,
go
man.
Go do it.
Just do it.
Go do it. I mean, and get yourself back up there. If it is a goal to get back, I mean, maybe he gets there, he gets happy. You get in a good spot. You mentioned Elliott Sadler. I mean, we see a lot of guys that have done that. Daniel Hemric, first, speaking of Pit Stop News and Notes, giving away the cat out of the bag right there. But, I mean, that's another. He made the move up. He's gone to Xfinity, and he's done well, and we'll see, you know, what happens from that point. But round three, Supercross tonight, San Diego, Petco Park, weather permitting. I'm assuming everything's fine. So that will be some really, really good stuff, as Justin Barcia is your point leader right now, 42 points, and he's got about a two-point advantage.
That's good to see Bam Bam with a red plate. Not something you thought you'd see this early in the season, or at all, despite anything past Anaheim 1.
That's exactly right. You expected him to win that first race and then kind of, from that point. But no, very consistent. Coming up, NASCAR Hall of Fame last night. Three brand new members that were enshrined last night. Three different genres right there. Three different personalities. Great ceremony. We'll break down and talk about all three of them. That's our coming up in Revved Up ATX. We're live, local, digital, streaming on the Horn app and at hornfm.com.
Dropping the green flag on racing and motorsports coverage. It's Revved Up ATX, brought to you by AMM Collision on the Horn, where Austin talks racing.
digital. Stream it on the Horn app and at hornfm.com. It is Revved Up ATX on your Saturday morning, taking you into your playoff weekend. Texas basketball coming up at 1 o'clock right here on the Horn. The ladies over on 105.3 The Bat. Pre-game on the Horn, 12:30, as Craig gets you set. Good to have Craig with the voice back. Good to have Craig back in line once again. He was a trooper the other night. I heard him on that broadcast. Been in those spots when the voice gets a little rough. But Craig, as always, with a tremendous job right there. Got to talk about the NASCAR Hall of Fame coming up here in just a couple of minutes. But we talked in the first segment there about the facelift, whatever you want to call it, that's happening. Plastic surgery that's happening over at Circuit of the Americas. And we talked about MotoGP. And just those things. I mean, they're so fast. You're hauling butt down COTA, and these things are so sleek. They're so fast. Chad Hastings actually told me this morning about his experience with that. So Chad, I guess you can actually relate to just maybe how bumpy, how fast it actually is on one of these out there at COTA.
It was unbelievable. We got a chance years ago to do a little media ride along thing, and some of the guys I'd worked with did it in a car. Where they did the side-by-side car. I would definitely give that a shot. I don't know if I would do the bike again, but it was intense. So, and I have a little bit of a motion sickness thing going on anyway. So we did two laps, though. It was incredible to just feel the power, all the force involved. The corners were amazing. When they laid that thing down, and you realize how close the pavement was to your face at that time. And I'm in the full suit. I'm in the helmet and everything, but just incredible. And then that straightaway is what I was talking to you about earlier. They're, what, one mid-50s?
Yeah.
Going by 155, yep. 158, whatever it is. When he punched it, that straightaway the first time, I had this, it was one of those, your life flashes before your eyes. And I just thought, okay, if you let go, you're dead. You're going to die. The headline will be, some radio guy dies at COTA. You know, it was incredible, man. Nothing but respect for those folks that can do that, control those machines, all the turns out there, as you guys well know. When he laid it down and went around the you go down to the knee and went around the tower. Woo, that's a G-force experience.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
it is something. Nothing but respect for what those guys do.
That's one of those that I like to talk about, Chad, Bobby, you've heard it, where it makes you pucker the seat up just a little bit when that's going on.
And thank goodness for the guy that was helping me, they don't have you hang on to them, because I'd have broken five of his ribs. They give you handles to hold on to, and let me tell you, I was holding. I was hanging.
And that's why, Bobby, we talk about that. I mean, the respect for whether it be MotoGP, road racing, the Supercross guys. I mean, because it's two wheels. I mean, the cars are dangerous. I mean, open-wheel cars, yeah, wide-open cockpits, these halos, though, what lifesavers they are. But we talk about it. Even the drag boats. The drag boats, our man Rusty Young. Go to YouTube. Type in Rusty Young crash and take a look at that. It's unbelievable. It's unbelievable what these people do.
It's crazy when they think about the G-forces and the different nature that the body goes through. And it's not so much, you really know about it in a crash, right? Because the car only can compact so far and absorb so much energy, and the internal organs in the body, and the body's still going to try to move
right
with that force that you come into. That's when they made the sternum belts part of the five-point harness and stuff to keep your sternum from trying to crack when you hit it. But I think it's one of those things where being there and being active, you know, nothing beats being at a motorsports event live.
Oh, my goodness.
The TV coverage now is better than it's ever been, especially with 4K and 1080 coverage and all of that good stuff. Surround sound, everything from the house makes it feel good. The adult beverages are cheaper at
Absolutely.
The house for sure. But nothing beats being live at a motorsports event, whether it's a Cup Series race, a Supercross event, or even your local short track.
Yeah, and I think that's because you do have, like with college football, you've got the tailgating experiences, you know, right here, Bevo Boulevard, everything that we're a part of right here with the Horn, AMM Collision, our title sponsor, all of that happens there. You go to an NFL game, there's all the tailgating and everything that happens. But with this, you get all of that, you get all the tailgating, you get all the party atmosphere, everything that happens at these events, but you get into a motorsports event, then you have that rush, then you have that adrenaline that you just get pumping, and even if, I don't care what race it is, if it looks horrible on TV, there, it's damn good. It's damn good there.
Because there's always something to see at
always.
The racetrack.
Always.
There's only so much the TV can cover, right, in terms of everything else that you can see. There's one... Well, I should say one camera, but there's one angle that they can show at a TV at a time, maybe two when they do the double windows there. But when you go to a racetrack, the racetrack can be such a unique thing because we can watch. Maybe it's because we've done a lot of stuff as the announcing and different stuff like that, and we're race fans and we learn what to follow over the years. But there's always a good battle, 13th, 14th, 15th, 28th, 29th, 30th. Those guys are racing hard to try to race for their position because every position's a point and every position means more dollars.
Yeah, you get the smell. I mean, like you go to a local short track, you smell that rear end grease. It's like, okay, something's going to happen here because somebody's leaking something. And it's just a great experience. You need to get yourself to some sort of motorsports event live in 2022. If you haven't done it before, we're telling you right now. You're hearing it on Revved Up ATX right here. Saturday mornings on the horn, get yourself out there to a racetrack of some fashion. Hall of Famers go in last night. Bobby, you visited the NASCAR Hall of Fame and talk about just the experience and everything for a race fan. And I think it's probably even a place where if you're not a race fan, maybe a casual race fan, that you can go in and be intrigued by stuff that you see there. Red Farmer, Mike Stefanik, Dale Earnhardt Jr. go in last night. Three very different personalities, very different times that they were active in the sport. But I'll tell you, three great, great drivers.
Three wonderful additions to the Hall of Fame for their contributions to motorsports. The part about it is that the NASCAR Hall of Fame is the mecca, right? Mm-hmm. They deemed it the mecca when it first came into existence. But when you go there, you see Victory Road with all the different cars and differences. I need to go back because they've changed some of the exhibits since I've been in 2014. So it's been 7 years since I've been there. But it is one of the truly amazing places to go. It rivals almost every Hall of Fame that you can think of. It is a really nice setup because of the fact they've got cars from different genres. They have stories. The difference is you have stories about games at Hall of Fame. You have stories about particular performances at a Hall of Fame from a particular individual. Every one of the, and you wouldn't think about it in NASCAR, every one of the cars at the Hall of Fame have some kind of story.
Absolutely.
It won this race. It ran here. It won here. All the way up from the early, from the 1950s.
Hudson Hornet.
All the way up until the most recent cars that you're going to see some of the next gen cars popping up there.
These antiquated ones soon. Now? These antiquated cars we had last year?
Yeah. Yeah. The Gen 6 cars. Yeah. They're considered antiques now inside the Hall of Fame.
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely. So, Red Farmer. We can talk about these individuals a little bit in detail. Red Farmer is an Allison. You know, you've got the Alabama gang and you've got, you know, the Allison brothers, Bobby, Donnie Allison, Neil Bonnet. You had that group right there. But Red Farmer is an individual, the F97, always the number that he competes with. For crying out loud, the guy still competes. And he is just to sit. We've watched him. We've watched him just sit at the Snowball Derby, just sit, and you can see the wheels turning in his head where he's watching these cars out on the racetrack. He's won just about everything that you can win in short track racing. He's flirted with, you know, running in some of the major series and done well. But Red Farmer is one of us. Red Farmer is an old school short track racer, and honestly, he should have been in this Hall of Fame a long time ago.
He really should have been. As far as a pioneer, I mean, he's been involved so long. The fact that he's still competitive, watching him at the Derby, that was so great because of the fact. And then he found out that we knew some of the guys that were racing and started asking us more technical questions than we knew.
Yeah.
Well, what about the angle of the rear end of the shocks and about the truck arm? How long is the truck arm that they're using? And we're like, I don't know.
Pretty long.
Yeah. I pick a normal stock one, maybe, you know. So his mind is always turning. He's still sharp as a tack at his age.
And he's one of those guys where we can't just make something up because he'd know that we were full of crap.
Yeah, definitely. He couldn't just kind of pull something out of the air there. We eventually had to say, well, we know him here. You know, we can give you his phone number. You can call him and ask him.
Red Farmer, man, what a story. And he just continued. He and Herschel McGriff, I mean, it's like guys that they never get bad. And it's like they're so sharp. I mean, they're so sharp. I mean, it's really odd to see him. You know, we saw him and Jody Ridley, and I think you and I were both like,
starstruck. They really were.
Absolutely. Good stuff right there, Red Farmer. I do want to mention as well, because I posted this last night. You know, we've talked to Red Farmer. We had the pleasure during COVID. We got to talk to Bob Jenkins. And unfortunately, we lost Bob Jenkins here just a short time ago. And the impact that he had, he's now in the Squire Hall.
Squire Hall, the
motorsport section of the Hall of Fame there for broadcasting. And Bob Jenkins was one of those guys called some of the most iconic races that you've ever seen. seen in NASCAR, well, of all, a lot of motorsports, but this particular Hall of Fame is NASCAR, and to see him go in, some of the great calls, and I think it's really cool. Had a moment last night where I was taken aback to think, you know what? Couple of just guys in Austin, we had the pleasure to talk to him. That was pretty unbelievable still.
It really was a lot of fun to talk to Bob Jenkins because he was the voice of a generation. I think that when you think about the rise of ESPN, right, a lot of people won't remember
Speed World,
how much racing was on ESPN when it first started.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, ESPN was with NASCAR during the growth in the 80s and the 90s. You know, when you started hitting in the 90s, that was primetime ESPN coverage, all Sunday afternoons and everything. So that was really a lot of fun that came through that day. And you know, the fact that he had still had the Ricky Bobby story that was popping up, mm-hmm, that was great, mm-hmm, too.
Yeah.
You know, being the voice on the Ricky Bobby, the infamous. You know, the more I watch it, the more I laugh at that movie. When it first came out, I didn't like Talladega Nights.
Yeah, it's okay now. I do get a laugh out of it. Mike Stefanik also goes in, and that guy, one of the most, you may not recognize that name. That's because he's a Northerner. He did it on short tracks. He did it in the Whelen Modified Series. Tons of wins, tons of championships. His wife, I love that they let his wife accept the enshrinement last night, and a lot of that was Dale Jr., I mm-hmm. think, some nudging there. But she was his spotter all those years, and what a great story, and what a competitor Stefanik was.
I mean, it's crazy to think that he won the Busch North Series, because at the time that's what it was called. He won the Busch North Series and the Whelen Modified Tour Championships in the same year.
It's unbelievable, isn't it?
It's just crazy. It's like crazy. When the guys win the Triple Crown and the USAC winning all three division titles. But back then, especially up north, granted the tracks are close together, but you got to figure the logistics, private planes, private helicopters, really fast car rides to try to go in between the different races. The fact that he won both of those Premier Series championships for the Northeast at the same year and just being competitive in race cars he didn't even get to practice.
Right.
Shows up in and starts racing, and just the pure talent made him win races, made those cars better than everybody else. It's very impressive to think about it. One of the guys we lost too soon, despite the fact he was retired when he lost his life in that little ultralight plane crash.
Yeah.
But it, you know, he was one of those. I mean, his should have been in the Hall of Fame a little bit sooner, kind of like Larry Phillips needs to be in there.
Yeah,
you can still look at the names of the people that need to be in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, yeah, that's something, the ongoing battle right there. But I do like that NASCAR does keep, I mean, they keep it a smaller class. I mean, it's much easier to do that than go induct 10. There's probably 10 that could go in, but I do like that they keep it smaller and they're able to showcase them a little more. Obviously, the most recognizable name right there is Dale Jr. And you can say what you want about Dale Jr., the 26 wins, the Daytona 500 wins, never won a championship, did end up with Hendrick. There's a lot that he went through. I mean, you had the situations there with Teresa, with DEI and separating from DEI, obviously losing his dad. But one of the things that I wanted to point out, Bobby, I think one of the things that one of the lasting impressions and prints that Dale Earnhardt Jr. left on the sport, And I mean motorsports in general, was in 2017, right around that timeline right there, when Dale Earnhardt Jr., which was unheard of in NASCAR, in motorsports, Dale Earnhardt Jr. was the first to step to the plate and said, I'm not right. I don't need to be in a race car. I've had multiple concussions. I just don't think that I should be in a car right now. It's not safe for me. It's not safe for my competitors. I'm stepping out. That was unheard of.
And it's definitely changed now, right?
Yes.
It's almost the same thing like this modern-day mental health thing with all these professional athletes stepping away saying, look, I need to take care of my mental health. You know, he took care of his physical health with that. And it was one of those things, it's still surprising to me that Dale Jr. is still the face of the sport of NASCAR, despite the fact he hasn't driven since, what, 2018?
Yeah.
2019, something like that. He's been retired for a couple of years. Granted, he still does the TV stuff on ESPN or on NBC, but it's crazy to think he's still the face of NASCAR, despite the fact he hadn't been an active driver for a couple of years. But talk about a cool Hall of Fame moment. I mean, the junior that we've had towards the end of his career, before he had the concussions in that last year, if we'd have had that junior 4 or 5 years ago, easily could have beat Jimmy Johnson for a couple of titles.
No doubt. And the thing about Junior is, if you listen to his, and I mean, we're not here to promote other people's work, but if you listen to the Dale Junior download, subscribe to that if you're a podcast listener, because that really is good stuff. Just the conversations that he has with other drivers, with other motorsports people, it's really, really good. But Dale Junior many times talks on there about the Dale Junior when he came into the sport. arrogant, full of himself. Talked about the with Shauna Robinson, an incident in Texas. Talked about that one in depth with her on one of those. And Dale Earnhardt Jr. has actually used that as a platform where he's gone and he's mended relationships. I mean, the Kyle Busch, the Kevin Harvick. I mean, bad things. Bad things happening there between them, which happens in motorsports. But he has taken that, and he's a pioneer. He really is a pioneer to where he's changed. You said it. I mean, he's a different person. He's a dad. He's a husband. Still likes to have a good time, apparently. But he is this Dale Jr. A lot of people say, well, you know, I'm not a fan of Dale Jr. because he's not his dad. Well, that's great, because I wasn't a fan of his dad's. I think that's why I'm a fan of Junior's. And I think that he is just such that personality. It's electric.
We talk about moving the needle all the time, right? He moved that needle so much. He inherited a ton of fans from his dad. He had a good following as of his own, right? A lot of it still wins because his last name was Earnhardt Jr., but he backed it up there for a while. Now, when he first got in the sport, wasn't showing up to practice on time. You know, was sitting there smoking and drinking until 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning and partying all the time. Well, he had Budweiser as a sponsor, right? You got to live up to the sponsor expectations.
Yeah. He should have had Camel. Like, you remember Jimmy Spencer had Camel on that car.
But, I mean, it's one of those to where, you know, I think when he moved to Hendrick, and I think the sobering reality for him came when the DEI deal crashed and burned when you found a way to Teresa just decided that she wasn't going to do it anymore and tried to sell all the assets and make a little bit of coin off of it. When he went to Hendrick, like they've always said, he was in search of a dad.
He got
and
him.
Hendrick was in search of a new son when
That's
Ricky
right.
Hendrick passed.
That's right.
That's what
right.
made that relationship so good with those guys.
Absolutely. And they remain close. Jeff Gordon and he, I mean, they're great friends. Jimmy Johnson as well. Just a great team concept there. Yeah, he didn't win a lot of races, but he won some big ones and definitely a Hall of Famer. And congratulations. And honestly, Bobby, I've had the pleasure to meet him. Jag, just a guy. He walks up. What's up, man?
Seems like it.
Yeah. He's like, "What's up, man?" I'm like, "Good. I'm good, man. I'm really good."
And he knows his old school racing too.
Oh man,
and he's got a commitment to short track racing too. So it's really cool to see Dale Jr. gives back to the sport so much.
He really does, and he does it constantly. Check out the Dale Jr. download. You will have a great appreciation for Dale Earnhardt Jr. Hall of Famer in the class of 2022, along with Red Farmer and Mike Stefanik. Coming up, Pit Stop News and Notes. We've got IndyCar news for you there. We've got Formula One news, all of that good stuff. Got to talk about North Wilkesboro back in the news again. We will cover that. This is Revved Up ATX, presented by AMM Collision on the Horn. We're live, local, digital, streaming on the Horn app and at hornfm.com. The green flag on your racing and motorsports coverage. It is Revved Up ATX on the Horn. 104.9, 101.9 FM, AM 1260, streaming on the Horn app at hornfm.com. Bobby Chaffee, Chad Hastings, Rodney Rodriguez with you on this Saturday as we take you up to Texas. Pregame coming up at 12:30 right here on the Horn. Texas taking on Oklahoma State. Prior to that, you will have a 30-minute version of Real Life, Real Talk with Mr. TC Speaks. He will give you, Bobby, he will give you something in that 30 minutes, I promise, for you to marinate on your cerebellum.
Every show?
Every time.
Every time,
each
man.
Each and every time. Each and every time.
I love Tyler. Tyler's so inspirational. Man. You talk about if we ever have a bad show or a show we don't think is really good to our standards.
Yeah.
He pumps us up every time. Every time we come out of here, when Tyler's here, man, he just pumps us up, makes us feel better about our day. There's been times that I've been feeling bad about my day, and I'll sit there and think, what would Tyler say? Tyler would tell me to get my stuff in order and to be a better person and to have a better day.
Yeah. And, you know, we were actually talking before the show, Chad and I, and that's Tyler. I mean, that is him. I mean, that's the dude he is. I mean, there's nothing made up there. There's not a mask. There's not anything right there. I was texting with him after the cowboy thing, and I could tell the hurt in his heart. But he still had something inspirational to say still about that. I'm like, dude, how can you be inspirational after that debacle? But that's coming up top of the hour, high noon. You will have real talk with Mr. TC Speaks. It is Tyler Campbell. Pit Stop News and Notes presented presented by AMM Collision. Bobby, A.J. Foyt, did you see that A.J. Foyt, talking some IndyCar stuff, he has hired Tatiana Calderon from Colombia. She will race a fourth car, or a third car, for A.J. Foyt Racing. Going to race on the road course, going to race on street courses, and that's impressive right there. A couple of years racing over in Japan and some of the Super Formula stuff, but A.J. Foyt going the diversity route right there, and he nabs him right there, a very talented young lady to drive one of those Foyt chassis.
It's pretty crazy to think the Foyt's going to have three cars. I don't know if that other.
Awesome.
I don't think they've announced who's going to run the oval portion of that, if it's going to run ovals or not. But a very surprising move, I thought, in terms of driver development. The way that he chose, with so many options there in the Indy Lights road to IndyCar, that the program they have, and he goes that route. Not that it's a bad thing. Obviously, he's going to do what's best for the team. But that's sponsor related and everything else. But IndyCar is getting way more. Has way more of a diverse background for their drivers than NASCAR does, unfortunately.
It's finally coming around, and hoping that those dates continue to build. I mean, they're going to new places. The Nashville thing is going to be massive. I think it's going to be great for them. Jay Fry, you know, is a part of that, and I think between he and Roger Penske, I mean, there's just so many things that are falling in place for IndyCar, but, you know, TV contracts and all of that are there. They really do need a solid year. They and NHRA, we've compared them many times to where they do. They need rock-solid years. They don't need anything to happen that's going to derail anything, so they're able to run their full schedules and showcase that talent they have. A couple of guys in IndyCar news as well. Tony Kanaan, he gets his last chance again.
Again.
Third time. Third time. He will run, going to run with Ganassi. Going to run a Ganassi car in Indianapolis. So, third time, third final time.
It's crazy to think that, right? And Tony Kanaan, one of the greatest IndyCar drivers ever. One of the coolest dudes in motorsports, man. What a great guy he is, and how cool he's been to the fans and the media over the years. Just such a great guy. Always cool to see him get one more chance to do it one more time.
Absolutely. Third time's a charm, maybe so. Winner in 2013 at Indianapolis. Also heading back to the Brickyard this year with Arrow McLaren will be Juan Palamontoya, which that's another guy where, and again, a lot of folks are going to go to the joke about the air dryer and all of that. Yeah, it's funny or whatever. But when you want to talk about talented guys that has won, he's won in everything. I mean, he's won in everything, and don't get me, well, he only won twice in NASCAR on the road courses. I don't care. A win's a win, like we talk about, like Rick Mass said. I would give one for a rain-shortened win. Juan Pablo Montoya has those, and let me tell you something. He's super talented. He's won the Indianapolis 500 twice. It took 15 years in between. He's coming back. Arrow McLaren, he's ninth in 2021. You got to watch that dude. You got to watch that guy.
One of the greatest drivers in motorsports, right?
Absolutely.
Now, is it fair to compare him to the early guys of Andretti and Foyt and some of those guys that did the crossover between NASCAR stuff and IndyCar stuff? The modern-day stuff he was able to do, the fact that he was able to did he win a lot of cup races? No. Was he in contention for a lot of cup races?
Should have won
a couple of Indianapolis Brickyard 400 races. But just the way that he was able to do, had the Formula One success, obviously had a lot of the IndyCar success, and you throw in the NASCAR success, one of the greatest ever.
And, you know, we talked about Dale Jr. a while ago, also in Pit Stop News and Notes. Got his own vodka. You see, he and Amy, they've got their part of a distillery, Sugarlands Distilling. Dale and Amy Earnhardt with High Rock Vodka.
Guess we have to. If it's sold nationally, like even we can't. What's the one that the vodka place? Big Machine Vodka? You can't find that anywhere out here.
Yeah, no, absolutely not. And along those lines, friends, while you've got your NFL playoff weekend, cart ahead of the horse here just a little bit, but on the 24th, coming up on Monday, it is National Beer Can Appreciation Day. You can start celebrating this weekend, responsibly, of course.
Responsibly, of course. I mean, that would be recycle the cans too when you're recycling. It makes sure, if you, as you always say, if you had too much, find yourself a designated driver. It's really easy with Uber and Lyft now. With the way that works. But yeah, National Beer Can Appreciation Day?
National Beer Can Appreciation Day on Monday. Nice.
There's a day for everything.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, everything has a day. Along those lines, along the lines of booze, Day Chaser canned cocktail will be a part of the number 48 Alex Bowman ride. What's with these canned cocktails and all that? Whatever happened to Miller Lite?
They're not sponsored anymore. They don't have a Keystone car this year.
I know. But our friends with Busch Light, the official beer of NASCAR, you've got the Busch Light Clash coming up on February 6th. Speaking of that clash, I know you're going to want to set your alarm for this. At the race break of the clash, it was announced this week that my man Ice Cube will be performing at the race break.
And Pitbull, I think, is going to do something, too. Co-owner of Trackhouse Racing there with Justin Marks. So not as spectacular as the newly announced Super Bowl halftime show.
Ooh,
there
was
Snoop and Dre and Eminem and Mary J and some of those other ones. But still, Ice Cube performing in NASCAR is a really good thing because it shows the diversity that NASCAR is going for.
And that tells you how the sport has changed. I mean, I know folks are like, well, you give me some George Strait. You give me some George Strait playing on that race break. That's what I need. No, man, not there. not in California. That's perfect. And again, that's another big name. Maybe not in the height of his career right now. I guess maybe he still is, but I mean, that's a different name. It's going to put eyeballs on this thing.
Yeah, it will, definitely, for sure.
Daniel Hemric will drive that college car in the Daytona 500 as we talk about those super speedway races. Those are races where it's kind of like Yahtzee. You throw them all in a cup and roll the dice, and you never know who's going to win right there. Daniel Hemric finally wins that first race and wins the Xfinity Championship. Going into the college stuff, which performs really, really well on super speedways, I think that you might want to keep your eye on that guy.
I think you will. Just another Xfinity Series champion running in the Cup Series. There's going to be a whole list of probably going to be a half a dozen to eight of them of former Xfinity Series champions running in the Daytona 500.
That's exactly right. And that is definitely going to be a crapshoot. Like we said, the new car, everything that's different right now. It's Daytona always gives us some crazy things and always gives us different scenarios and people that maybe win their only race. You know, win a race, their only race in their career, maybe win that one. And with all of these changes, 2022 is going to be a milestone race. This one will be etched. I don't know if it'll be the 76 or the 79 500 that goes down in folklore, but going to be good. Do we have places for racing?
Yeah, real simple.
Oh, sorry.
Real simple this week before we go. Supercross on USA. I double checked. It is indeed going to be on USA at 9 p.m. Central Time this week.
Absolutely. Good stuff for Supercross. Chad, thank you, my friend, for coming in and taking care of us. Bobby Chaffee across the way. UT pregame coming up at 12:30, taking on Oklahoma State. But don't go anywhere. Next, it's Real Life, Real Talk with TC. Mr. TC Speaks, Tyler Campbell. Revved Up ATX every Saturday right here on the Horn, live, local, digital, streaming on the Horn app and at hornfm.com.